Mary had just started to clean the stone flags of the entrance hall when she heard a clatter of hooves in the yard, and someone thundered on the closed door of the bar. No one had approached Jamaica Inn before. This summons was an event in itself. The door must have been unlocked, for to her surprise there was a man sitting straddle-legged across a chair, with a glass in his hand filled to the brim with ale, which he had calmly poured out from the tap himself. For a few minutes they considered one another in silence. Something about him was familiar, and Mary wondered where she had seen him before. The sight of him looking her up and down and drinking his ale at the same time irritated her beyond measure.
"What do you think you're doing? The landlord didn't encourage strangers."
The man finished his ale and held out the glass to be refilled.
"Since when have they kept a barmaid at Jamaica Inn?"
he asked her, lighting his pipe and puffing a great cloud of smoke into her face. His manner infuriated Mary, and she leant forward and pulled the pipe out of his hand, throwing it behind her onto the floor, where it smashed at once.
"Is this how they train you to serve customers? There are better-mannered maids in Launceston, and pretty as paint into the bargain. What have you been doing with yourself? Your hair is coming down at the back, and your face is none too clean."
Mary turned away and into the kitchen, straight into the arms of the landlord himself.
"Who in hell's name were you talking to? I warned you to keep your mouth shut."
His voice echoed in the passage.
"All right," called the man from the bar. "Don't beat her. She's broken my pipe and refused to serve me. Come in. Let's have a look at you. I'm hoping this maid has done you some good."
Jos Merlin frowned, and pushing Mary aside, he stepped into the bar.
"Ah, oh, it's you, Jem, is it? What do you want?"
Mary went back to her bucket of water in the front hall, wiping the dirty mark from her face with her apron. So that was Jem Merlin, her uncle's younger brother. Of course, she had seen the resemblance all the time, and, like a fool, had not been able to place it. He was what Jos Merlin might have been 18, 20 years ago, but smaller in build and height, neater in person. Mary was so absorbed in her work that it was not until a shower of pebbles made a crack in the glass that her concentration was disturbed, and she saw Jem standing in the yard beside his pony.
"What do you want now?"
she asked, conscious suddenly of her loose hair and rumpled, dirty apron. He looked at her with curiosity, but the insolence had gone, and he had the grace to appear the smallest bit ashamed of himself.
"Forgive me if I was rude just now. Somehow I didn't expect to see a young girl like you at Jamaica Inn. I thought Jos had found you in one of the towns and brought you back here for his fancy lady."
Mary flushed.
"There's nothing very fanciful about me," she said scornfully. "I'd look well in a town, wouldn't I? My old apron and heavy shoes." "Oh, I dunno. Put you in a fine gown and a pair of high-heeled shoes and stick a comb in your hair. I dare say you'd pass for a lady even in a big place like Exeter."
He looked serious, and his likeness to Jos had fled for the moment. She wished he were not a Merlin. When he inquired why she had come to Jamaica Inn, she explained how her mother had died some weeks ago, and she had no other relative other than Aunt Patience.
"I'll tell you one thing, Mr. Merlin. Meeting your brother was the worst day in her life."
Jem patted his horse's neck.
"Merlins have never been good to our women. I can remember my father beating my mother till she couldn't stand. She never left him, though. Stood by him all his life."
Mary was silent. He spoke entirely without shame or regret, and she supposed that he had been born, like the rest of his family, lacking the quality of tenderness.
"What do you do for a livelihood?"
asked Mary, in sudden curiosity, for during their conversation she became aware that he spoke better than his brother.
Jem bent down to brush a piece of dirt from his pony's shoe. "I'm a horse thief." Mary laughed, in spite of herself. He was so frank in his dishonesty that she had not the heart to be angry with him. Jem Merlin looked at her gravely, and then, on a sudden impulse, he bent towards her. "Jamaica Inn is no place for a maid. Why don't you run away? I'd see you on the road to Bodmin, all right. I'm serious now." His tones were persuasive, and Mary could almost have trusted him.
"I don't need any help. I can look after myself."
Jem threw his leg over the pony's back and stuck his feet into the leathers. Mary went slowly back into the house. She was in urgent need of a friend. Because he had a disarming smile, she had been ready to believe in him. But he was Joss Merlin's brother. Whatever happened, she must stand alone in this business and trust no one. That night, the wagons came again. There were only two carts this time and less than half a dozen men standing in the yard. The wagons had arrived empty and were loaded with the remainder of the cargo deposited at the inn the time before. It was with a sudden sting of disappointment that Mary wondered whether Jem Merlin's visit to Jamaica Inn this morning had significance. He could have ridden to Jamaica to warn the landlord that he might expect the convoy in the evening. Mary was angry with him and with herself. In spite of everything, her last thought before sleeping had been the possibility of his friendship. She would be a fool if she had hopes of it now. The next few days passed without incident. Her uncle had ridden away on the moors somewhere, and a sense of freedom possessed her. She sang as she washed and wrung out her linen and spread it on the stunted gorse bush. With the full force of the sun, it would be dry by noon. An urgent tapping on the window made her look up, and she saw Aunt Patience beckon to her, very white in the face and evidently frightened. Mary ran to the back door of the house. No sooner had she entered the kitchen than her aunt seized upon her with trembling hands.
"It's Squire Bassett! He's never been before. He's heard something. Oh, Mary, what are we going to do?"
Even as she spoke, there was a loud knock at the entrance door, and then a pause, followed by a thunder of blows. Mary thought quickly. She was in a difficult position. If this was Squire Bassett, and he represented the law, it was her one chance of betraying her uncle. She could tell him of the wagons and all she had seen since her arrival.
"Mary, if Mr. Bassett asks you what you know, you won't answer him, will you? If any danger came to Joss, I'd kill myself."
There was no argument after that. Mary would lie herself into hell rather than let her aunt suffer. There were two men outside the porch. Aunt Patience made a little curtsy.
"My husband went out after breakfast, Mr. Bassett," she said, speaking unnaturally loudly and clearly. "And whether he'll be back before nightfall, I really cannot say."
"I wanted a word or two with Mr. Joss Merlin. Your precious husband may have bought Jamaica Inn behind my back, but one thing I won't stand for, and that's having all my land hereabouts a byword for everything that's damnable and dishonest. Go on, Mrs. Merlin. Lead the way upstairs. I'm a magistrate, and I've got a warrant."
The rooms on the landing were thoroughly explored. The squire peered into the dusty corners, lifted the old sacks, and prodded the potatoes, all the while uttering exclamations of anger and disgust. When there was nothing more to see, he asked to see the locked room with the barred windows. Since Aunt Patience was incapable of speech, Mary spoke.
"I'm afraid the door is locked. My uncle always keeps the key, and where he puts it, I don't know."
The squire looked from one to the other in suspicion, and went out into the yard to call his servant. Then Mary watched Mr. Bassett and his servant ram a bar against the lock of the door until there was a splitting of wood and the door gave way before them. Except for a pile of sacks in one corner, the room was completely empty.
On the top of the sacks lay a length of twisted rope. Turning to Mary, the squire asked her if she knew anything of her uncle's business, or if anybody called there by day or by night. Mary looked him straight in the eyes.
"I've never seen anyone."
And didn't she think it very peculiar to keep an inn on the King's Highway and then bolt and bar the house to every passer-by?
"My uncle is a very peculiar man."
"He is indeed. In fact, he's so peculiar that half the people in the countryside won't sleep easy in their beds until he's been hanged, like his father before him. And you can tell him that from me."
Then he climbed onto his horse, gathering the reins in his hands.
"One other thing. Have you seen anything of your uncle's younger brother, Jem Merlin of Trewarther, over near Kilmar?"
"No. He never comes here."
Aunt Patience had already preceded Mary to the kitchen and was sitting on a chair in a state of collapse. Mary poured herself out a tumbler of water and drank it in one breath. She was in a fair way to losing her temper. She had lied to save her uncle's skin when every inch of her longed to proclaim his guilt. Well, she was committed now, and there was no going back. For better, for worse, she had become one of the company at Jamaica Inn. Not only had she lied to save her uncle, she had lied to help his brother Jem. Why? She did not know. Jos Merlin returned just before noon and was met with a babble of words from his wife. After a while he beckoned Mary from the window. He was standing on the hearth, his legs straddled wide, and his face as black as thunder.
"What in hell's been going on here?"
Mary told him calmly. She omitted nothing, except the squire's question about his brother, and ended with Mr. Bassett's own words, that people would not sleep easy in their beds until Jos Merlin was hanged, like his father before him. The landlord listened in silence, and when she had finished, he crashed his fist down on the kitchen table.
"The damned skulking bastard! He'd no right to walk into my house. By God, if I'd been here, I'd have sent him back to North Hill so as his own wife would never recognise him. Damn and blast his eyes!"
Mary did not fear him like this. It was when he lowered his voice and whispered that she knew him to be deadly. For all his thunder, he was frightened. She could see that. And his confidence was rudely shaken.
"You've done well today, Mary, and I'll not forget it."
His niece looked him in the eyes.
"You don't think I did it for you,
do you?"